frog off my throat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is our God. He is our King. I just felt, as I was back here, the Lord just wanted me to remind you, don't be watching the news and getting worried. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what's going on. It's been going on for thousands of years. But we're sending ships. We've sent ships every 6 months since World War II. We've been sending, we got ships in the Mediterranean all the time, the Indian Ocean. We got them floating around the Pacific Ocean. Any ocean you can think of, we've got a presence. Don't worry. You need to trust God. And by the way, if you don't have a dog in the fight, I'm not worried about it. I got a dog in the fight now. I ain't worried. God took care of me, he'll take care of him. But don't you worry about any of it. You aren't changing anything. Today we're going to pray. I'm going to tell you, folks, we're seeing God do some things. He's moving mightily. Well, he ain't moved in my life. Well, what are you doing for him? I'll step back here. Just saying, we all want to make sure that we get our opinions out there. You know what? Keep your opinion. Just like your belly button, we've all got one and they're all useless. But I want you to understand, no matter what happens, I start finding the things to praise God about. We've been talking about this gratitude thing. She's been listening to somebody and they were talking about how gratitude actually affects your physical body. And when you're not grateful for things and you don't express it to the people, it becomes hard on your body. Just like worrying about things. You're not changing the price of gas by worrying about it. And by the way, if you haven't paid attention, it is slowly coming down. I paid $2.98 the other day. Thank you, Kroger's. I got my extra 3 cents off. But God is not moved by your worry. He is moved in your life with gratitude. So be grateful. Start thanking him. Oh, FYI, you can thank the people who do things in your life. You know, it kind of triggered in us the other day. We take each other for granted all the time. We get up, I expect that coffee to be made. Right? Coffee had better be made. If you ain't made it, what's going on? And then Justin started drinking coffee. And he's like, well, there's hardly enough coffee left for me. You'd think I'd get up earlier, which I have been. We can make another pot of coffee. They'll make coffee. They're still growing new coffee in South America. So, but anyhow, we got to start being grateful. I don't want to get up here and preach a message on this but try giving thanks. Not just for your food, not just for your day. Thank the Lord for every little thing in your life. Thank him for your children. Thank him for your health. Well, you don't understand. Start thanking him for the health you've got. And understand, there are going to be things in your life you're not going to be able to do anymore. I've come to the conclusion there's just things I can't do anymore. And I just shut up. If you didn't hear that cough, there was the word old in there. Which, by the way, that word just means grown up. We looked it up the other day. But anyhow, I'm off track. I want you to start being grateful for what you got. Be grateful for the things you can do. Be grateful you live in this country. Every country does embarrassing things. Every one of them. But there's one king, one ruler, one leader who has never. And we serve him. Amen. Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Father, we thank you, Lord God, not just out of tradition and out of customary greetings, but Lord, we are grateful for the blessings in our lives, Father. Father, that in spite of what's going on in the world, we can still have peace, we can still have contentment in you. Lord, knowing that you are our King, you are our provider. So Lord, we present to you today now the tithe and the offering. Lord, I bless it now according to your word. Press it down, shake it together, and cause life to run over in the believers, into the believer's life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. And there might be some of you who've heard, but maybe you haven't. There is a ring going around breaking into cars in church parking lots. So if you don't want your car broken into, lock the doors. We've had it here before, so just heads up. They are on the run again. They're doing it. Yes, there are people casing properties and such. But on a good note, don't want to get you all worried, they're taking prayer requests. How many of you saw the fast movers in the air the other night? Jets, F-16s. I think it was Tuesday night. What's that, Chinooks? Yeah. Yeah. What caught my eye the other night was the drones, though. I'm like, they're flying in a formation. And they're flying really low and slow, and I'm assuming they're coming out of Lom. But I read something the other day that if you heard the sonic boom over the state of Ohio, it's what it was. They're flying out of Swanton, which is up by Toledo, and they're just doing their thing. We used to have a pilot whose mom lived here in Mount Gilead, and when he would do his weekend, he would shoot over Mount Gilead, and it was awesome. We just moved into town. And he'd fly right down Main Street, and he'd bank, and Joshua and I'd be out there waving at him. And it was pretty cool. But so we were sitting there, I'm like, man, there's a lot of things, and they're moving. And, I read in the paper, well, online, they were running their exercises. Do you know how long at 1,500 miles an hour it would take them to go from Toledo to Washington, D.C.? Don't try to do the math, just guess. 15 minutes. I'm like, okay, yeah, that'll peel your face. That is moving. And yet, it's nothing going to be like Jesus. In a twinkling of an eye, that is faster than any jet we've got. Okay, hallelujah. We're going to go before the Lord. I'm going to tell you guys, I love this. I love seeing all the requests come up. Not because there's crap happening in people's lives, but because you care. I'm trying to think. Today, nobody had a personal request or offer somebody else. That tells me something. So, but let's go before the Lord. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, that you are the King of kings. You're the Lord of lords. You're the Lord of the hosts. Father, you have every aspect covered. You provide for us. You provided a sacrifice for us. And Lord, we trust you. We know going through whatever happens in this world, whatever happens in this country, Lord God, you are still on the throne. You are still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, Father, right now we do continue to pray for Israel. Lead her, Father. Lead Israel through this battle. Father, I know many of her leaders do not recognize you, and I know that breaks your heart. So, Father, we pray that you lead them still. Father, may they seek you. May they find you. Lord, we thank you for protection over Israel, wisdom and guidance for all of our leaders in reference to Israel. So, Father, we thank you for that. And, Lord, I pray that you give my brother the wisdom, the time to move on. And, Father, we also thank you that in this he has been able to see the effects of drugs, and that has been a common request, Father, that these parents who are hooked on drugs, they're making drugs, Lord God. They're ruining their lives, their children's lives with these drugs, Lord God. We continue to stand against this drug trade. Father, I thank you right now that you're moving in it. Father, that people are seeing the error of the way, what it is actually doing to them. Father, we pray right now that you stand against all of this drug trade, Father, the human trafficking trade in this county, in this state, in this country, Lord God, and in this world. Father, help those who are out to free them, Lord God, lead them to them, protect them, give them wisdom, give them the resources they need to continue on this in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for Mike. You see, Lord God, he's not recovering as quickly as they expected. So, Lord God, I pray right now that you touch his body. You heal everything that's coming against him. Lord God, we curse sickness and disease from affecting him any longer. And we speak life and health over Mike. In the name of Jesus, in the incision site, Father, every part of his body that has been worked on, Lord God, will be healed, Father. And these symptoms that are popping up that were not expected, Lord God, I thank you right now that life and health is flowing through his body in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we do lift up our sister, Miss Vicky. Lord, you see what's going on in her eye. Father, I thank you. You're restoring, but Lord, above all that, you're moving in her life in this, Father, as she's trusting you. Lord God, you're continuing to show yourself faithful. So I thank you, Lord God, that you're moving in her life right now. Father, may she continue to give her strength to continue to stand in the name of Jesus in this healing. And Father, we do lift up our military. Father, several members have family who are in the military. Lord God, I speak peace over them, Lord God. May we all embrace that peace, knowing that this is why we all can live in this country at the rate of peace that we are at. So Father, I thank you for protection. Give our military leaders, our generals, our admirals, our president, Lord God, give them wisdom. Father, uncommon wisdom. And Father, I pray for Jerry. Lord God, you see the stent he's about to have put in, and I ask, Father, right now that you guide the surgeon's hand. Father, every person has anything to do with this, Lord God. Your peace would be upon them. Your hand is upon them, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I speak life and health right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that they're working to unblock this artery in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, and you see what's happening in Sean's body, Lord God. He has not had a stroke, but yet has the symptoms. Father, pneumonia is attacking his body. I speak life. Command those lungs to dry in Jesus' name. And I speak life back to the nervous system. Father God, that all these symptoms will fade. They will pass, Lord God, and there will be no ill will or no ill effect of them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, you see what's going on in little Lily's body. Father, I speak life. I pray for her right now. Lord, that you bring her oxygen levels up. Lord God, help her lungs to bring it and process it out through her body, into her muscles, into her blood in the name of Jesus. Restore her body. I thank you, Father, you're giving this little girl strength in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray for Alexis. Lord God, you see that the devil's attacking her body as well with this respiratory infection. We speak life to it, her in Jesus' name. Lord God, that you're clearing her lungs, Father. You're clearing her sinuses and all the passages in the name of Jesus. You're making her breathing easier. Lord, I thank you, Father, that her body is recovering. Her body is fighting it, Lord God, because it's one, the way you created it. But Lord, that you are now giving her the extra boost in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, you see this young man and what's battling in his mind. Lord God, I speak peace. Peace to his mind. Lord God, may he settle in that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the only Creator. That all others may have a bit of truth, but they're still lies. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord God, that as he is struggling, as he is searching, Lord God, just as Carrie Livgren from Kansas was struggling, he was searching, Lord God. He searched everything, every false religion, every astrology, everything, Lord God. He searched it all, and yet it was not hitting it, and then he found you. He truly found you and realized that our lives are but dust in this wind, and there is one true God. And he sings for you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in this young man's life. That out of it, Lord God, thousands will come to know you because of this. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you right now that you're moving in your people today. Lord God, that you're setting them free. That you're healing their bodies in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. Well, I will share something with you this morning before I get into the message. So there was a Facebook page that I joined, and they actually had some, you had to read stuff and all this other stuff. It's called Christian Metal. Not all of you would like it, because they're guys my age for the most part who are headbangers. And I've lost a few of you. But anyhow, in this, I was reading it. One person, I mean, who knows who Blackie Lawless from Wasp is? Anybody heard of Wasp? Okay, a few of you. Blackie got saved. He's the lead singer. They're a hard rock band from the 80s and just really, really hedonistic. The whole, they're a typical rock band, kind of like Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath type deal. But Blackie got saved. And as I was reading down the articles, a guy posted from 2 days ago that he was given the opportunity to meet with a family. And he prayed, Lord, what do I do? How do I go to this family and tell them about you, to give the good news to you? And God told him to take this Bible, a new believer's version. In other words, it's written in our English so that people can understand. And he said, put his name on it. And the other members of the family, God gave him specific things for them. And so he got to meet with this family, the Osborne family. The name he put on the Bible was Ozzy. He got to take Ozzy Osbourne a Bible, preach the gospel to Ozzy, Sharon, Jack, and Kelly. A couple of weeks ago, he ran into Jack at a conference in Kentucky. And he says, I got to tell you, he said, my whole family was moved that you didn't just come in and generically throw something at us. That you took the time for each one of us. Because we don't all believe the same. We aren't at the same level. And he said, but I need you to tell you, here's the real kicker. Anybody knows who Black Sabbath is, and Ozzy Osbourne knows he claims to be the Antichrist, the Lord of Darkness, Prince of Darkness, all this stuff. But he said he never could understand the Bible because it wasn't written in a language he could understand. And he said, I need to tell you something. He said, we were at a hotel the other day, and Dad left his Bible and papers downstairs. And he said, no, I'm not going. I got to go back and get my Bible. I've got to go get my Bible. And he sent somebody back down, and he said, and there's papers with it too. You need to get my papers, because it was the articles. One of them was the case for Christ. He said, I need my papers. I'm going to read those today. I'm going to read that Bible today. He said, let me tell you, that Bible sits on my dad's nightstand every night. He said, if somebody comes to our house, he goes to his bedroom and he gets his Bible and he shows them the Bible that has his name on it. So don't ever think it's too late. Somebody's too far gone to serve Jesus. Blackie by no means was a good man. Alice Cooper got saved in spite of the people that fought against him. And Ozzy Osbourne will get saved because somebody took the word of God to him and preached the gospel in a way that he could understand. Understand that. He has burned, he has fried his mind with drugs, searching for something. Everybody's spiritual. Everybody's looking for something. God will take them where they need to go. Trust that. All right, so this morning, the Lord just kept really bringing up something over, and I know I've taught similar messages on this. This one may have a little different flair in it, but I've talked in the past about putting our hand to the plow and not looking back. I've told you, don't worry about your past successes, your past failures. Don't wallow in them. Don't let those past successes be your glory days. I had to tell a bride the other day, this is not the best day of your life. It is up to date, but it's not the best day of your life. And if it is, I'm sorry for you. Because the reality is, sometime along, there's going to be a baby come along. And that's going to be a great day. It's a rough day, I'm not going to lie. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, you know, it's real easy. I'm a guy. We don't pass the baby. We don't have the cramps. Not that our hearts aren't breaking for you, just we don't have that experience. And if it's anything like a kidney stone, I praise God that women still have babies after the first one. But the reality is, that's a great day. But then you're going to, you know, you're going to be without some sleep for a little bit. Mommy, they're only going to look at you because they want to eat. Well, be grateful they're looking at you because as the daddy, as the grandfather, there's things missing and, hey, I don't want you. I want mommy. Mommy can feed me. And so you look back at those days and it's like, oh, man, those days aren't the greatest. You have to think of, I think it's a Springsteen, Glory Days. All they got together to talk about, all they could bring about was the glory days, those days. My best days weren't those 4 years after high school, 5 years. My best day hasn't come yet. Because I'm not the same person I was then. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So how could that be my best day? But that's not exactly what Jesus was trying to teach us in Luke chapter 9. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will never, or as you were, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now I've heard this message taught. Oh, boy, was it taught in error. But we'll finish this. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. He was not saying he couldn't go bury his father, folks. God is not cold-hearted. People use excuses all the time as to why they can't do the things of God. He just didn't want this to be one of those things for that guy to say, but I never got to bury my father. He was not saying, you can't go bury your father. And another said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid farewell to all who are at my house. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I've heard it preached, sitting in the chairs. Jesus was, when he was saying this, he didn't want the guy to go back. He said, don't do it now. That is wrong, because that's not what he was teaching us. Other versions that might say, what have I to do with you? And don't mean what we think it means. I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm not here to trip you up. Go bury your father. Go say goodbye to your family. You know, so help me, if a prophet ever showed up and told one of my sons, do this now and never go back home and tell your family what you're doing and never look back, I'm going to hunt that prophet down. Listen, we're going to have words, Jack. God is not a rude jerk. Religion is a rude jerk. Jesus was not telling them they couldn't go say goodbye to their family. Jesus was saying, go say goodbye so that that's never a problem in your life. If somebody just disappears from your life, it's rough. It hurts. And you have a hard time getting over it. And you keep looking back, well, if I could have just done this. See, I know what it was like to get sent overseas. Year and a half, I got sent over there. And it was kind of hard knowing that there was family back home. But there were guys who could not let it go and realize, I'll be back in a year. I had a roommate. He just had a year. That's all he had. I still had 6 more months. And I'd already been there a year. And he, oh, I just missed my wife and my kids so much. The kid was a baby. I get it. He's going to grow up. But first off, this is the life you signed up for. I had so many guys, boots right out of boot camp, they just started whining and bawling and all this, moaning, groaning. And I said, listen, who signed the contract? You did. Did they lie to you about what might possibly happen? If that's the case, the whole raising your hand and saying, I will defend my country, even if it means my life. So I have problems with the conscience objectors who get in and say, I will not fight. But that's not what Jesus was trying to tell them. He says, I don't want you to be out doing the work of the kingdom and looking back and say, I never said goodbye to my son. I never said goodbye to my parents, and now they're gone. That is not what he was saying. He said, I want to stop you from having something that's going to detract. This roommate of mine could not look beyond the 2 weeks that he started crying the second he got there. And I was already jaded. I already had a nice shell back. Hey, it ain't nothing but a thing, dude. What are they going to do? Take away your birthday? Keep moving. The time will go. So he put in for a hardship transfer. You need to understand what the word hardship really does to your military career. And this guy had already had 6 years in. My opinion, if you got 6 years in, you might as well suck it up, look down to the ground, grab your straps and go. Push through to retirement. What this did was kept him from ever going any further. He could never get promoted. He could not re-enlist. He effectively killed his military career. That's all he knew. And Jesus doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want us to get in here and say, okay, you know, I'm going to send you to Ecuador, and you're going to be there. But you didn't say goodbye. You didn't tell anybody where you were going. You have no contact. It's rough. That's why I tell you, if you have family members who are deployed, make contact. It means the world. Because they're faced with a life-changing, life-threatening situation every day. Even in peacetime, folks. Don't think we fully understand. We call it peacetime, but the reality is, if you're active duty military, you're never at peace. Somebody is always trying to kill you. No matter where you're at in the world, oh, they love us here. Yeah, but not everybody does. Pray for them. Make contact. Send them a letter. Today you can Skype, you can do all kinds of things, emails, texts. Do that. But don't be the person who says, well, God told me I need to do this, and I just grabbed hold of it and left my job, didn't tell my boss I was going. Did you like the boss? Oh, yeah, he was a great person. Then why would you do that to him? I only had one job where I never gave a warning. The man lied to me about my wages. That was my second time. Somebody lied to me about what I was going to make. He lied the whole time to get me to hire on. I went, filled up my Pepsi cup, which was the only benefit of working at that place, all the Pepsi I could drink, which was really not good for me. And I said, by the way, I quit. You lied to me. He was fired within 2 weeks. Because it got out. Other people found out he lied. But you see, that everybody else I told I was leaving. Listen, I'm leaving. I'm going here. I'm going to do this. And this is my reason. When we told people we were moving back from North Carolina, the guy I worked for, his wife said, make him your supervisor. I'm like, oh yeah, that's going to go over real well. I'm the low man on the totem pole here. Let's take him from here and put him up here. That doesn't fly. Can't you do something? Just help him stay. It wasn't about that. It was God had further visions for us. Now, just FYI, we did not cut ties with them. We said goodbye. We have been in contact with them. We've gone down to see them. God doesn't want us to constantly be looking back saying, oh, I wish I didn't leave. He wants us to focus on our next task, not keep looking back for a way to your old life. There's nothing in your old life you want. Nothing in your old life you need. Oh, but my old job. If I kept looking back and saying, oh, but flexible. I mean, it was a great paying job. I had good benefits. Let me tell you the cold hard facts about that job. If that job had continued, we probably still would not be married. That job, that place had the highest divorce rate of any, even the military. It was rough. But all the money I made. I can make more money. They print new every day. So it tells me I can make it. It means I can earn it. Get closure. Say goodbye. Bury your dead. But I feel bad about the way I left. Then now there are going to be people that aren't going to necessarily agree with you, and they're going to get a little butthurt about things. And, oh, well, you know, we even had somebody come tell us once, oh, I didn't think it was the will of God for you to stay down there anyhow. I looked him right in the eye and I said, that's why I didn't ask your opinion on it. Oh, sounds like you were a jerk. No, they were the jerk. I knew what I needed to do because I know me. And I knew that I needed some more closure. I needed growth. And if it hadn't been for that, I could have never have gotten to the point of forgiving some vital people in my life. So Jesus was not forbidding us the right or the opportunity to settle affairs at home or at work. And he doesn't want us wishing we were back home kicking it on the block. Oh, but we were thick as thieves in high school. Is there anybody that runs with the exact same crowd you still did back in high school? I'm not saying one person. Probably not. I get in touch with my best man from my wedding. He was my best friend from second grade on. But we grew apart in junior high and high school. He got saved. He was the best man at my wedding. And then over the years, we just kind of drifted apart. And now we stay in touch. And I got to take him out for his birthday. But, you know, I don't hang around in the same people. I didn't go to high school with any of y'all. And I wouldn't trade you for any of them. Jesus told us in Luke 17:32, he said, remember Lot's wife. 1 Corinthians 15:1. I was supposed to tell you the tale because it's nearly 40 verses. Jesus, or the angel of the Lord, goes to Abraham, says, I'm going to do this. Abraham does some bartering. Now he's in Sodom and he's got Lot. We know the story about the men. Well, we're going to rape them, and then we're going to rape your daughters. We're going to rape you. They told Lot, you're leaving today. Did you ever pay attention to the fact that Lot is bartering during this time too? The angel of the Lord said, go to the wilderness, not the plains. Because I'm going to destroy the plains. Go to the mountains. Oh, but no, don't send me to the mountains, lest some evil befall me and I die. Again, Lot didn't know God. Abraham did. Abraham is the one who sacrificed his son. In his heart, he went through with it. That's why God knew that Abraham was faithful. So the angel of the Lord says, because you have favor. He doesn't have favor because of who he is. He has favor of who his, uncle. Who his uncle is. That's the only reason he had favors, because he was a relative of Abraham's. And so he gets him barred down. He says, we will let you go to this city, Zoar. We'll let you go there, but only because you have this favor. Next morning, they get up to go. Here's Lot. I know we got to go, but I got to pack my belongings first. It's going to be a couple hours. Angel says, no, it didn't. And he grabbed Lot. He grabbed Lot's wife. The other angel grabbed the daughters by the hands, and it said, and they took them out and set them outside of town on the road. And they said, now get to Zoar now, because I can't do what's got to happen until you are safe. And again, had nothing to do with Lot and his relationship with God, but Abraham and his. Because I don't know how much Lot knew. He knew a little bit, enough to be dangerous. Don't we all know enough to be dangerous with some things? So at this point, they're leaving. They're still dragging their feet. And destruction befalls. Lot's wife hears. Many scholars, and I'm not necessarily saying I'm a scholar, but I believe it as well, that God used volcanoes. God used something natural all the time. He flooded the earth with natural water. The Bible says that the earth cracked open. And it wiped out not only Sodom and Gomorrah, two large cities, but there were five satellite villages around it that were just as bad. In the plains. And the Bible says that that fire and brimstone came down and it burned up the cities, the people in the cities. It burned up all of the vegetation on the ground. If you look today where they believe Sodom and Gomorrah was and what might be left of the cities, nothing can grow there. The earth is ruined because of all the sulfur. But Lot's wife, she hears this destruction going on. She was warned, do not look back. Oftentimes I wondered, okay, God, you know, I can look back and we can actually find physical things, scientific things that happen for reasons. Okay? But this one, I keep trying to make it, there's got to be a scientific reason, Lord. You know, she turned to salt. Was the heat so great that when she turned around, it dried her up? Well, if it's going to dry her up face first, it's going to dry her up back of her head too. It had nothing to do with that. It was the intent of her heart. Did she look around and think, all the belongings I couldn't bring, my daughters and their families that would not come? They left family behind who refused to come. They could have left. But Lot's son-in-laws thought it was a joke. But they weren't thinking it was a joke when they heard the rumblings. And she, the Bible says she turned and became a pillar of salt. Folks, she was turning around because her heart was there. Our hearts must never be in something of the past. Our heart must always be in God's future. Where does God have for me? What does God have for me? Do I have another job waiting? Possibly. Oh, but I just want to go to a job and stay there for years and retire from there. There are only but a handful of places that you can ever do that now. Used to be a time in life you could go to a job and work that job for till retirement. Then something started happening in the 70s. Factories started closing. Things started changing. The 80s, 90s. Now we don't have a factory one here. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I can't think of anything now that's open. Manufacturing's not here anymore, so you can't just go and work at the factory. Things change. People change. Jobs change. You keep moving forward. I always told my boys, I said, you don't stay at a job that mistreats you for starters. I said, you take what you can, but I said, if you leave a job, you take a step up, never a step down. You may go back for a little bit less pay. When I left Mettler Toledo, I started over for less pay. But I had a 3-mile drive to work. And I worked during the day instead of 4:10s at second shift in Columbus. And so I took the step back, but in reality, God was setting me up. I left another job and kind of just went straight across. I was telling somebody the other day, I left that job not knowing what my future might hold still. Well, the reality is, we got insurance with that job. Had insurance with my last one, but they kept changing it because it was supposed to be our part of our benefit package, part of our pay, but we never got to pick, and they kept changing it so that it was cheaper for them but less beneficial for us. We changed jobs, and that job covered every penny of Jesse's $70,000 hospital stay in 2000. Every penny. I had no deductible. I had nothing I had to pay. It paid it all. If that was the only reason, was it worth it? My book, yeah. But yeah, that's not the only reason. God set me up so I could start my own business. My dream, having my own business. What's God got for you? Sometimes you gotta quit looking back. Oh, I had it better. Yeah, I made a heck of a lot more money back at Flexible. But I wasn't happy. They were always threatening layoffs. They were always threatening strike. Forget the stupid stuff. Anyhow, so Lot dragged his feet, so the angels grabbed him, his wife, daughters, by force, and sent them out of town. Lot begged not to go to the mountains, but rather Zoar, and still ended up in the mountains, this time without a wife. Read the rest of that story. It gets a little freakier. Along the way, Lot's wife looked back, perhaps pining for her things, status, family, who refused to act. She looked back after being told not to, and all she had known was there she was unwilling to lose her life in order to save it. Luke 19. If you want better for your life, you got to be willing to lose what you've got. Oh, but I got to hold on to it, hold on to it, hold on to it. Well, that's all you're ever going to have. I want more life. I want more for my children. And sometimes you got to push. Sometimes you got to put yourself out there. Now to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19:19. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. He had already gone through 11, and he was on the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on. How'd you guys be like it? Doing your job, you're out working. Some dude walks by and throws a rag on you. A little concerning to me. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He's not saying that I'm forbidding you to go back and tell your mom and dad. It's not what he's saying at all. He said, "Go back and do what's right by your parents. Go do what's right by your family." So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Modern day terms, he's out there with his old John Deere. He's plowing. Some dude comes by and says, "Hey, you're to take up my mantle. You're going to be the one to take my place." Great! Drains the diesel out of the tank, lights the tractor on fire, and walks away. He can never go back. He just burned his tractor and his plows. He burned the bridge and fed it to the people. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. That is what looking back looks like. You can't go back. I don't want to go back. Anytime I've ever thought, can I just go back? Can I just go back to being a normal person? No, I can't. I never was a normal person per se, but I can't just go back working for somebody else like that. I've had the freedom of being self-employed. Holy moly. There's a lot of scary stuff with being self-employed, besides the taxes. But there's freedom. By being self-employed, God set me up so that I could start this. Was it year two we were in town and we tried to sell our house? We're like, "Oh God, we love the house. Can we move it out of town? 5 acres would be plenty." We just kept fixing up the house, making it nicer. And we loved that house. We really did. Still do to a point, but I really love the house I'm in now. But we could never sell that house. Never. What is going on, Lord? I want you to start a church. Ultimately, you're going to be 2 blocks from your house. You're going to spend a lot of days over there working. So you don't need to be driving 10, 15 miles a day to get to work, to get over there to work at the building. Folks, that's what made it easier. Yeah, I could work 16 hours. Shouldn't have. If you look back at the things I shouldn't do, overwork myself. You make mistakes. Foolish mistakes. And in that, God has been able to do this. And when we finally became content and said, "Lord, we're done, we're settled here," God said, "Okay, now you can move." And he gave us our dream. See, if we kept looking back, but that house, I drive by it and it's like, almost doesn't seem like I lived there. I lived there for 15 years. That blows my mind. I'd never been in any one place for that long. Actually, once we went past 4 years, I'd never been in any place that long. Now it's been 10 years that we've been out there. That just blows my mind. Feels like yesterday that we were working on it. Guys in the church got together and they helped us move in. I'm trying to get the kitchen presentable so we can eat. And in all this, God has been faithful. We've grown. We've seen what God can do. I'm telling you, folks, don't pine for what was behind you. Oh, but I like that house. You can enjoy that house. Have good memories. Run with your strength. I'm going to have to stop. Maybe I finish up next week. Because I can keep going on this. There's something else, another branch. So I will stop. But understand, don't look at the things behind you and pine for them. They're gone. There's no time machine that can take you back to that day so you can redo the decision. So, or you could tweak it a little bit. Hindsight's always 20/20. It's called learning from it. Yeah, I stuck my finger in that socket and I got bit. Don't do that again. Yeah, don't do that. I did these two things with the wires and I got shocked. You know what I learned? Not necessarily not to do that. Be smarter about it. Sometimes you just got to be smarter about what you did. Because sometimes that was the only way to get it done. But you just didn't do it the right way. Anyhow, let's stand. I want to keep going, but it's getting warm in here. I was going to say, you know how I know? Eyelids are going closed real slow. Because I'm like, whew, it's warm. But glory to God. But no, God doesn't want you to be thinking about the things in the past. You made mistakes, move on. That's all there is to that. Move on. Leave it. I wish I'd have never done that. Well, so do I. Ain't nothing I can do about it. Forget it. It's gone. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you've helped us to move on. We're not looking back at those things constantly wishing that maybe I wish I'd have talked to my parents about that. Maybe I should have done this. Maybe I should have talked to somebody. We're not worried about that anymore. But Father, rather we are moving forward. We're going to set affairs straight on the things we need to do. Lord God, if it's a job transition, then we're making the plans now. Things are in place now. Lord God, just as you moved on me, every time I was to leave a job, I was to have a job. So I had to move. I had to get out of a comfort zone to find that job. And then when I had been beaten down and broken and content now, Lord God, you brought the job to me. But I was more than ready. So Lord, I pray right now that everybody in here, Lord, we've all got to put our hand to this plow. We've got to move forward in our faith. Lord, that we don't remember the things, that we don't keep pining for the way things were as the children of Israel did. Oh, if we could just go back to Egypt. We at least had food. We had shelter. Never mind the fact that we were slaves. We were beaten. We were being murdered. Had no rights. So Lord, I thank you that you have evened the playing field. We have rights that we can move on. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in people's lives. You're moving. You're ministering to them. You're bringing victory to overwhelming situations just because they hold on to you. And now, Father, I thank you for each and every believer here and everybody watching it online. Father, I bless them today. Father, as they go forward this week, move mightily in their lives, giving them strength, giving them wisdom. Father, understanding in all the things, in Jesus' name, amen.